one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
All right. Now I want to give you some unusual verses tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I referred to this on the radio, but I haven't finished saying, then I'm going to give an illustration in the scripture of what I'm talking about. As you know, there was a king that, as my daddy used to say, took the cake in wickedness. And the one who made the cake was his wife, Jezebel. One of the meanest women that ever lived was Jezebel. And she had a little husband that turned out to be a puppet and a powder and a blubber boy. And if he couldn't get what he wanted right, she'd do it wrong and get it. And so he was a sort of a mouse. You know, we got a lot of people saying, well, I don't know why the Lord doesn't fill us with the Spirit. He doesn't fill mice. He's not interested in filling mice. He doesn't fill rabbits. He fills born-again people. People that'll trust Him and obey Him. And let me tell you how much of the Holy Spirit you can have. You can have just as much of the Holy Spirit as you make room for. But He's not going to live in a hog pen in order to live in you. And I'm surprised at just about every denomination I know anything about forgetting standards of holiness. Now, the difference between me and a bunch of them is I don't believe in being holy in order to go to heaven. I believe in being holy because you are going to heaven. I never was holy until I received a holy Savior. The best I had was filthy rags. That's all I could offer, and that's not too good. I believe that Jesus is the one that makes us and keeps us holy. John knew that when he said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, present tense, from all sin. Feel like we ought to pray. Our Father, there never was a man that could say what I ought to say tonight without heaven's help. And there never was a congregation like the one out in Radio Land and here in this auditorium that could receive it unless Thou dost give them discernment of the truth. And Holy Spirit, that makes us completely helpless and hopeless and shut up to the presence of the Lord. And except the Lord build this preaching house tonight, we might as well drop the hammer and go home. And so, Lord, I need Thee. I really need Thee. There are a lot of times that I need Thee. But, Father, never do I need Thee more than when I stand to speak for Thee and stand between a living God and a dying congregation. And so give us that liberty and freedom and make this a time of blessed, wonderful fellowship with Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this 19th chapter an unusual fellow that came along and was a great soldier. His name was Jehu. He had not, I guess, been an outstanding man in many ways, except he seemed to be a man of conviction. And he's going to do something in his life that I imagine astounded the world at that time. Ahab and Jehoshaphat began to barbecue together. They began to fellowship. Jehoshaphat was supposed to be a man of God, and he discerned spiritual things. But Ahab was such a popular king, and Jezebel, until they made affinity. That is, they became friends. And finally, Ahab, after he'd fed him enough barbecue, he said, "Now, how about joining with me?" And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, what's the big idea? What do you want to do?" Well, he said, "We got some fighting to do. I'm thinking on sending my army." Now, Ahab was one of these freeloaders. He'd tie him to anybody that'd help him, because he didn't have any confidence in Ahab, Jezebel, or nobody else. But he knew a good man when he met him, and he said, "Now, Jehoshaphat, I believe, will play both sides of the fence. I believe he'll hang on to his God, and he'll help me at the same time." And so he said, "I believe I'll get him to join me." So he courted him a little while and fed him up, and he said, "How about going to battle with me?" Well, Jehoshaphat, you know, like one of these meandering so-called prophets or fellows that respected, he said, "We better get some spiritual advice." Oh, he said, "No problem at all, man. We've got a cow pasture full of preachers. I mean, you've never seen such a ministerial alliance as Jezebel has. And I'll guarantee you they'll tell you exactly what she wants you to know." And so he said, "All right, trot them out." And so here they come. I mean, there's hundreds of them. Boy, they came up there, you know, a-bowing and a-scraping, and Ahab said, "What do you think, fellas? Shall we go up?" And they said, "Yes, yes." Oh, that's it. Yes, yes. Hi. Oh, that's all they knew. That's all they had in their vocabulary. Yes, yes. Y'all just go ahead. Yes, yes. And Jehoshaphat said, "Ain't never been that many preachers get together at one time, holler yes, yes." Now, somebody ought to be hollering, "No, no." He said, "Now, I've got another question. Have you got a man of God around here somewhere? These little puppets, these little monkeys running up and down Jezebel's string. Now, let's just, I can't go for them." Well, Ahab had a problem on his hand. He said, "Well," he said, there's one, and not too many. I only know of one." Well, he said, "Let him be called." Well, he said, "No." He said, "I hate him. I just literally hate him." Well, he said, "Tell me why you hate him." He said, "He never said anything good about me. He just doesn't show the king very much respect." Well, he wasn't very respectable. Pretty hard to respect a hog. And so he said, "Well, you let him be called, and I'll make up my own mind." So he called him in, and Micaiah, of course, issued the ultimatum. And the first thing he said, you see, when he came in, all these this ministerial alliance got him, said, "Now, look, Micaiah, just one time, why can't you say yes, yes? I mean, just one time. Why do you have to be so different? You're outnumbered, and you know that we've already said yes, yes. Go up and conquer. Everything is lovely." And so Micaiah really pulled a new one on Ahab. Ahab was standing there listening to him, and he said, "Oh, me, he's fixing to drop the hammer, I know." And would you believe that Micaiah walked up there and joined that ministerial alliance and said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." It made old Ahab so mad. He said, didn't I tell you? Listen here. You know why? He didn't say, in the name of the Lord. Yes, yes. And Ahab knew he left out in the name of the Lord. See? He knew he couldn't say in the name of the Lord. He just said, in the name of all you little rotten, stinking, false puppets. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Go ahead. But Ahab knew that a real prophet wasn't telling the truth when he wasn't telling the truth. And then, of course, Micaiah told him, said, you'll never make it back. I mean, this is it. This is it. Brother, he was outnumbered, but he told the truth. Now then, the battle is over. Ahab got it. Jehoshaphat barely escaped. I mean, old Ahab, he said, Jehoshaphat, you put on your uniform, but I'm going to be disguised when I go out there. You big sissy.
That's right.
You coward. That's the way Ahab. And Jehoshaphat was pretty stupid. And they nearly got him. They said, oh, no, hold it. That's not the one we're after, man. We want Ahab. And they got. Now, Jehoshaphat got back, and he's going to meet Jehu. And Jehu's got a question, and I'd like to ask all the modernists today and all you people that are attending morgues instead of churches, all you folks that are feeding modernistic, fat, greasy, backslidden preachers and churches that are dead as King Tut, I'm going to ask you a question right now. You say you're meddling. No, I'm preaching. You must haven't been around any preaching lately. Brother, I'm just telling you. And look what he said. Jehoshaphat, chapter 19, verse 1. The king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Now notice, he's the son of a prophet. He's the son of a seer. Went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? That's it. What are you doing running with a fellow as wicked as that sorry Ahab? What do you mean? What do you mean being out there with him? Don't you realize that he's against God? He doesn't love the Lord. And don't you know that you've incurred the wrath of God? What do you mean? You modernist running with an infidel like that. Why would you want to help the ungodly and stand with those who hate the Lord? Now, you ready for the illustration? Turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. I tell you, I've read this twice this week, again. And I want to talk with you about a man that'll demonstrate exactly what I'm talking about tonight. There's a fellow by the name of Balak, B-A-L-A-K. He's a fellow that, is living next door to 3,500,000 Israelites, and they're moving on. And Balak has been watching their progress. I mean, he's been reading the headlines, if you please. And Balak is scared out of his socks. He said, far as I'm concerned, we've had it. There's no way for that bunch of Israelites to move and march and to get fed with no supermarket in the wilderness. And for that bunch, just keep them moving and see what happened. I'll tell you, there's got to be a God somewhere. And wherever he is, we're not in touch with him. And, you know, I read something somebody gave me. It's an old-fashioned deal that it's way back in, I guess, 30, 40 years ago. An old ignorant country boy, he could read numbers, but he couldn't read letters. And, somebody was talking to him, and He could read the number of miles, and he could say, he said, now, I can read how fur to, but not where to. Folks, we got a lot of people about like that now. They can read how fur, but they can't tell how to get there. And they don't know what they're getting to when they get there. I mean, they can't read the letters, but they can read the numbers. And far as I'm concerned, America's number's up. You know, you go into Morgan City and they ask you, said, do you have the numbers? You know what that is? That's ATIS, A-T-I-S. You're supposed to tune in 126.8 and they tell you all about the weather before you ever get there. They don't want that fool around with you. You're supposed to, and so if you just kind of call up approach control on 126.4 or 28.4 or 119 something and or 129 and just say, this is Clean Air 208 Echo with the numbers, then they know all they got to do is just tell you to get on in and where to go and so forth. And we got a lot of people, dear friends, that can read a lot of things, but they can't put it together. They can't tell. Now then, this fellow Balak, he had him a brainstorm. And he said, now, I've got to get the help. I mean, they've got a God that will help me. But I'm not in touch with him. I don't know how to talk to him. I mean, I'm not on prayer ground. But I understand there's a fellow by the name of Balaam. And that fellow, whatever he says goes. I mean, if he blesses, they're blessed. If he curses them, they're cursed. And he sent an embassy out to get him and said, now you go tell him that I'm loaded with benefits. And tell him to write his own ticket. And just tell him that I'm going to have to get him to curse this bunch of Israelites and then I can handle them from then on. And so they took off over there. This is over in Numbers 22. Numbers 22, the children of Israel set forward, pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan, by Jericho, and Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up. In other words, we're in for a licking. They're going to get us. And so Balak said, I tell you what you do. Y'all get over there and be sure and take the rewards. Verse 7, you take the rewards of divination. Now, you know what that is, don't you? Now, that's supposed to be divine, but that ain't what they're talking about. They're talking about witchcraft. They talk about a bunch of tomfoolery, rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now, watch it. Verse 8. He said unto them, evidently they'd already flashed their gold and silver and suits and clothes and rewards. And watch old Balaam now. Lodge here this night. Now, boys, when you furnish lodging for the devil's crowd in the moderns, you're going to be in trouble. What he ought to have said, you better beat it to a motel or either head home. You ain't staying with me. But he said, y'all lodge here. We want to see what I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Mm-hmm. Now that's dangerous. Boy, you get to unbelievers in your church, in your house, and you go to school and listen to them teach. You go to church and listen to one of them preach, and you go away saying, boy, he's a brain. Mm-hmm. You better check his spiritual pulse. You better see what that cardiograph says of his heart. And God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Well, now you know the Lord knew, but he wanted him to check up. He said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Now, this peradventure won't get anywhere, but I'm going to tell you something. Balaam is going to wind up using the same word, peradventure, before it's over. You know what peradventure means? Exactly nothing. That's what David said. You remember when he got up on the roof garden, turned on his television set, and saw Bathsheba that was not clothed as she ought? And you remember when David lusted, and he sent for her. And then you remember when he got Uriah, her husband, killed, and he got her up to the palace, and he took charge and so forth. And then the little baby was born. And David said, well, let's pray peradventure. Brother, you can't pray peradventure and get anything done. That's doubt. Peradventure means that it'll never work. And so here he is. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they're blessed. You better not try to put the curse on somebody I've blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Now, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe Balaam is suffering. I believe he's going to make a stand. Boy, he's going to be a giant for a little bit. He said, y'all get out of here. Go back. The Lord wouldn't give me a permit. I talked to him. Reckon why he hadn't talked to the Lord about something like that? Let me tell you something. You can fall in sin praying over something you ought not to pray over. People come down and said, brother, will you pray with me about my cigarettes? I said, hand me your cigarettes first. Huh? I mean, why? What do you think I'd pray over Chesterfields or Unlucky Strikes or Marlboro Country for, huh? No preacher can pray over that bunch of poison. You don't pray over sin, you give it up. Boy, this old boy, bless his heart, brought him up to me. Boy, he came up and, man, he was hot to trot. He walked in the kitchen dead set. Boy, I mean, you can tell it written all over him. And he said, I can't stand this extreme deal here. He said, it's just too extreme for me. I said, is that so? I said, man, you've been so extreme, you drank liquor when your children were hungry. I said, you about the worst extremist I ever saw. I mean, you'd go in lemon. I mean, you'd go to any extreme to get you a bottle of liquor. And now then, what's your problem? He said, tobacco, cigarettes. He said, that's too extreme. And yet, when we boiled it all down, and God began, and she looked at him, and I tell you, we need some wives like this. I know maybe she's made a flock of blunders herself, and they got three little children, and begged them to come on out here and get some help. Little old children getting grown, three of them. And she said, I'm not going. And boy, she said it like she meant it. And directly she looked at him again, and she said, and you're not going. Boy, I tell you what, she dropped the hammer. I kind of like that. Yeah. Ordinarily, I don't want a wife telling a husband what to do, but I mean, he was wrong, she was right for a change. That's good. And so I said, listen, you better stay. And you know what? We began talking. Directly, I saw him reach over there and get a hold of his wife's hand. Huh? And it wasn't for she's fixing to hit him. I mean, he just kind of want to hold on. Amen.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Compromising. If you would like to have this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3624. The title again is Compromising. To write to us, you may write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And, of course, to cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. We'd like to have today's date. Also, the call letters to this radio station. Here is the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box, 1177 Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And if you'd like to call and use your credit card, call the 1-800 number at 772-7507, 772-7507.
How could he choose someone worthless as I? I'll never know, but I'll surrender.
You'll receive a blessing by the offer of the month for the Jubilee Ensemble recorded in 1984. Songs such as How Wonderful, I Love Him Better Every Day, Thank You, Jesus, and Oh, Tell Me His Name Again, and there's 16 songs in all. Ask for the offer, RO837, and include $12 for the CD. To receive the special music offer, ask for offer number 837, the Jubilee Ensemble, and write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. You can call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507 and use your credit card. This is Gene Price wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.